Community Conversations with Community Centres SA. Here's Kerry Ackermans.
We all know the challenges of navigating the aged care system, and if you're one of those sandwich generation where you have ageing parents and children, even more difficult. We're really fortunate today to be joined by Gail Miller, an aged care consultant who's been in the industry for a number of years and helps people from all types of circumstances find their way through what is not an easy process at all. Welcome, Gail, to our podcast today.
Thank you, Kerry. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, Gail, I know myself when talking to many people how difficult this is. My parents passed early, so I haven't had to do that. But for people that do, it is challenging, and particularly when they are balancing that family situation themselves. But if people's parents are of good health, when do you actually start looking at it? Do you wait until they're sick?
Nothing happens until you've registered with the My Aged Care system, and you can do that the day you turn 65.
Oh, goodness me. So you're aged at 65.
Look, I was invited to a forum when I was in my 50s because the government wanted to know what were the views of seniors about a whole bunch of issues. And when they asked me to speak, I said, firstly, I think we need to reclassify what a senior is. I don't consider myself to be a senior because I'm 55.
Well, I wouldn't imagine most people would, but what is the age?
Somewhere in the 50s.
Somewhere in the 50s.
Yes, I think you can have a senior's card, or maybe it's 60 now, but I've had one since I was 55.
Mm.
But because people are living well into their 90s, 50's only halfway, really.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's the new 40, is that not correct?
Exactly, that's right.
Gail, look, it is a very difficult process, and it's one where people start thinking about, we'll have to sell mum and dad's house, you know, they'll have to move in if we go and see somebody, the parents aren't actually wanting, that's I think a lot of the problem too is most parents don't want to be going anywhere either. So how do we even start to have the conversation?
That's a really tricky one. I belong to a number of network groups, and in two of the groups I've had people apologising to me for 2 years for not having booked that consultation that they said they were going to book because they're still trying to get mum or dad over the line to accept that we at least need to start having a discussion.
And this is why this registration process is so important. And of course, Gail, there's a real digital literacy issue with this as well, isn't it? For a lot of aged parents, they're not able to do this themselves and they do need their children's help quite often.
That's so true. Look, I run WEA workshops, I do public presentations and whatever. I've been doing this for a number of years. And when I ask audiences who was successful at registering for My Aged Care online, I've had one out of about 500 people.
That's a phenomenal statistic.
It's abysmal. So if you ring My Aged Care, they will try and encourage you to do it online. When I'm running a workshop, I say, please don't attempt to do it online. I don't even show what the website is anymore. I just give out the phone number and tell people, make sure your phone is plugged into charge, dial the number, have it on speakerphone, make sure you've got either your knitting or a good book or a crossword or whatever, and your favourite beverage.
That actually wasn't what I thought you were going to say, but I'm liking the sound of all of that, Gail.
Look, it's really important. People need to know that you've got to be patient. It can take up to 45 minutes to have your call answered. It's about generally around a half an hour that they'll ask questions. They need to know your name, whether you're on a pension, your date of birth, all sorts of personal detail stuff, and that will get you registered.
And you can do it on the phone. See, I didn't even know that. I thought it had to be done online.
Look, my husband, Ron, 73, I made him register when he was 69. I said, I teach about this in workshops, and I'd like to see how this process goes from a consumer's point of view. So Ron actually tried to register 3 times
online. He was the guinea pig.
He was the guinea pig, and he's very computer literate. He ran into a brick wall and couldn't work out why. So we rang and I said, when you're speaking to them, I want you to register me as the third party to be able to speak on your behalf. And when I register, I'll do the same when I'm old enough to register. So I was 64 and a half at the time. So when he asked, can I register my wife as a third party authority? The guy said, yes, can I speak to her? When he was speaking to me, he asked, are you registered? And I said, no, because I'm only 64 and a half. And I said, I've tried online and then realised I hit the brick wall because I wasn't 65. He said, well, I can register you. So he did it right then and there. Simple, easy. He said, here's your aged care number. just keep that, and if and when you ever need it, you've got it. You don't now have to go through the registration process.
Well, that's very good advice, because too often we don't do these things until it's a panic mode or perhaps there is a real ill health issue.
And then we make things a lot harder than they need to be. So often, you know, when you wait till the wheels fall off, you're not thinking clearly, you're under stress, you're under emotional pressure, and you don't necessarily make the best decisions. So this is one of the simple things that can be done long before you think you need it. You know, make that a present to yourself on your 65th birthday. That's a bit of an odd thing to say, but really it's one of those things on the to-do list that can be done easily.
Well, that's a great piece of advice. And of course, community centres, Gail, we have anybody and everybody presenting to our centres. And quite often, these are the sorts of things that they'll ask community centres of what they can and can't do. So does the person who's the advocate have to be a family member?
No, it needs to be somebody that you trust, and preferably somebody who's younger than you. So Ron and I could both ring again and ask if we could register our daughter as a third-party authority too. And you could list more than one person.
So let's say this has already been done, but the person still has good health, but then it does fall off the rails and suddenly someone's looking for a place. How hard is it to find somewhere for someone to go, and how do you do it?
It depends how hard you want to make it. I'm not here to bag the hospital system. Australia actually does a lot of things quite well with the aged care system compared to other countries in the world, but I think we can do it better. So that's what really prompts me to do what I do. If somebody ends up having had a crisis and they're in hospital, an older person, once they're out of crisis, the social worker in charge of that ward is given 3 days to clear the bed. So they will literally look for any vacancy in South Australia or Broken Hill to have that person placed. Now, Broken Hill can only take people for respite because they failed their accreditation, so they can't take on any permanent care people. But would you want to be sent to Broken Hill for respite?
No.
If they'd failed their accreditation?
Exactly.
Precisely. So people feel like they're a bit hamstrung, like they're being dictated to by the hospital system, because they don't know that they've got a choice. Now, I got into this back in 2014 because I'd moved my mother-in-law in with us. She'd had a meltdown, and I was landed with the job of trying to find an aged care home for her, and I discovered what a nightmare the system was. My background's in children's dentistry, so I'm very logical and methodical and can follow processes. But that nearly did my head in.
And everyone does say that, Gail. And interesting you say about only 3 days to find a bed. With the current situation we have with the hospitals, I'm surprised they've even got 3 days.
Yeah, true. So basically, hospitals at the moment are really a holding bay for older people whose crisis is over. You know, we've got two friends who have just been through this situation themselves. They're now in a nursing home that has CAPS beds, care awaiting placement beds. So that's basically a holding bay. Now, one of the families that we know, they have been told that you can go to a private aged care placement consultant, and I can refer families to those once I know what the story is, and that placement consultant could actually be sorting out this placement thing. But the family feel like they can't go against the hospital system. They don't want to cause any waves, or they don't know what questions to ask. So it's just a very confusing time.
Certainly is. So if they need to be placed somewhere, and do you get a choice around where you can go? I mean, you're talking Broken Hill. Most people in South Australia would not want to be visiting anybody or going up to Broken Hill. What's the choice availability? Does it depend on your health insurance? How does it work?
No, private health insurance doesn't come into this at all. It purely is where there's a bed available, but also, to a certain degree, whether you can actually put some funding into it. The federal government has it set up so that every home in Australia must take one-third pension only, one-third pension and partly self-funded, and one-third fully self-funded. So it's a level playing field for everyone. Now, they don't have to take them strictly in that order, but if the ratios get too far out of whack, they can actually fail an accreditation. So most of the homes try and stick to that. We have a friend who's awaiting a placement at the moment. His family are determined that they're going to let the hospital system tell them what they have to do. They're too frightened to actually go against that, even though we've had numerous conversations, they've been referred to a placement consultant, whatever. They're frightened of upsetting the system, which is really sad.
This is really important. This is where you're going to be spending a lot of time.
For this gentleman, he's 96, so he may not be spending a massive amount of time, but it's still something that's really important and you need to get it right. And what they fail to understand is that a private placement consultant could have had this man placed weeks ago.
Really?
He's self-funded, so there will be a home somewhere, you know, in the region of where they would like him to be, that is probably waiting for a self-funded person.
Because you have to have from one of the three. And this is answering some questions. So you're saying it does help if you have money.
It does if they're trying to keep the ratios right. Okay. My mother-in-law went in as fully self-funded. She got a spot fairly quickly after she'd come home from respite, but only because they had two deaths in 1 week. They were expecting one. The other one was very unexpected. So suddenly they had another placement that could be offered. So residential aged care homes, they're called now, they're doing a juggling act. Who to offer what room to and what becomes available. It's an everyday change.
Talking to Gail Miller, aged care consultant, and we're discussing where you can find a place. Can we just explore that funding side, Gail? Because you do hear these stories of, well, we're going to have to sell the house, or how does that work? Do you have to sell your house?
Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you do have to sell it within a few weeks or a few months. Sometimes you've got 2 years. This is where I refer people to an aged care finance specialist, and not just a financial advisor who's done an aged care accreditation, but one who only deals in the aged care sector because it's so complex and the goalposts move so often. If somebody's self-funded, I automatically send them to an aged care finance specialist because they can work out when a house is going to need to be sold, if it's going to need to be sold, how far the person's funds are going to last. You know, if the person was, say, 69 and had a stroke, needed to move into care, an aged care finance specialist can do a prediction of how far their finances are going to last. They know how to work all of this out. There's government formulae. It's very complex.
I suppose when we talk about how much, when you think about house sales now, houses are worth quite a lot of money. So has aged care gone up significantly?
I don't even know what the costs are. I deliberately don't know a lot of this information because otherwise I would spend all my time learning the job of the experts that I send people to.
Whereas it's much better for you. You're really that broker coordinator, Gail.
Yeah, I'm the link, the missing link between the confused people and these experts.
Now, how does the assessment fit in? Because you get registered and you can't have an assessment until you're registered. How quickly can that assessment happen? If your parents are fine and there's no issues, but suddenly if they get ill, how quickly can that assessment happen?
It depends what sort of an assessment they need. At the moment, there seems to be an Australia-wide push on doing what's called a regional assessment. Most people have heard of the Commonwealth Home Support Package. If you have a regional assessment, which is a more minor assessment, they'll look at all the different things that they could give you out of that type of a package, like gardening, home maintenance, meal preparation, medication supervision, a whole bunch of
shopping,
things like that. Shopping, personal care, social support. There's about 17 different things that they give each organisation a bucket of money for. Then there's what's called an ACAT assessment, which is done by the Aged Care Assessment Team. And for that type of assessment, you're given a level 1, 2, 3, or 4 package. And the amounts of money range between, I think it's about $12,000 to $53,000, or it may even be closer to $60,000. But you have to remember that's not all money that can be used by the client. Some of that has to pay for the administration of the packages. But the government fortunately has put a cap on that. So the homes that, or the organisations that were charging too much, that's been capped. So it depends what you tell the person on the other end of the phone as to what sort of an assessment you may get.
People might not even know what sort of assessment they need, probably.
Well, I tell people before you make the phone call, you write a list, you, elderly people, write their own list of what happens on their very worst days, all the things that are a challenge. And then I encourage all the family members to write their list of what happens to mum or dad on their very worst day, because they're going to have a different view. And generally the older people paint a rosy picture when they're talking to my aged care, which is a very, very, very bad thing to do.
Because you're going to get less money because they think we don't need to give it to
precisely.
You.
Precisely. And actually that's going to lead us into something else that's happening at the moment that's a bit of a problem.
Talk to us about that then, Gail.
Okie dokie. There's a couple of things that have been happening. When people get a phone call from My Aged Care to say that they can have an assessment, the assessing agency only have to try ringing three times. So I've been helping an elderly man who lives in the hills. He's bent double because of his back problem, but also he has Parkinson's disease. He can't do anything in a hurry. And when the phone rings, he cannot run to answer the phone call. He's got stairs outside. It's a really tricky place. Even if he's carrying his mobile, he can't get it out fast enough to answer it before it hangs up. Now, the agency that was trying to ring him, say that they tried to ring him three times. He asked me to sit there and listen to all his missed calls one day, and he said, I think they're trying to contact me about an assessment. There was one call there, and they left a message, didn't leave a return phone number, and it took us five times before I could catch the name, which I then Googled, worked out who it was, and we rang them. And they said, we've tried ringing him three times, and they listed the dates, and he doesn't answer the phone. And we said, well, he's only had one call from you, and you left a message, and it was on this date, and no missed calls on the other days. And they said, oh, well, we've done what we need to. You have to ring My Aged Care and start again.
See, that's hopeless, isn't it?
I just find that appalling. And the other thing that's happening, if somebody has an ACAT assessor coming out, say they're coming at 10:30, I thought this was unfortunate when it happened to one family, but when I heard it happened to three families in 2 weeks, I was appalled. The appointment is made for 10:30, so a family member was planning to be there at 10:15. The assessor knocked on the door at 8:30 and said, look, I was just in the area, can we do the assessment now? You've already worked out, I can tell from the look on your face, you've worked out exactly what's going on. So by the time their family member got there, they said, oh no, we've had the assessment. So they ask questions. Now, do you mind answering my questions? Can you cook?
Yes.
Right, that box gets ticked. Notice how I didn't ask, do you have rheumatism or arthritis in your hands? Can you carry a pot of boiling water? Can you hold a knife to chop a carrot? Carrots are probably one of the most difficult things to chop because they're really hard.
So a better question would have been, do you still cook for yourself? And is there any difficulties you have in doing that?
Why would you ask that question? You've absolutely nailed it. Another one, can you make the bed?
Yes.
Imagine you're 85. Can you strip the bed easily? And can you hang the washing on the line?
Mm. Okay. That's troubling.
So you can see they don't ask any leading questions.
It's just
questions.
A tick the box. Yeah.
Yep. Which means they go away with all these boxes ticked. The elderly person has painted as rosy a picture as they can because they either genuinely believe that they're managing or they don't want to appear to be frail or whatever.
But that is very common, and I had a lot to do with residential aged care homes myself. And they don't like to make a fuss.
No.
But they will say to their kids, I can't do this anymore, I can't do that. Or they'll see them struggling, but they don't want to admit it to other people.
And this is exactly why family members need to be there. So important. But obviously within the system, they've worked out that family members can be a problem because we're actually having to hand out too many services. Mm. So if we can assess them before the family has had a chance to be there, I think it's incredibly sneaky. And sadly, I've checked with other people that I refer to around Australia and it's happening everywhere.
That's really disappointing.
It is.
So it's important that you're there as an advocate.
Absolutely. So if mum or dad have an appointment time for 10:30, make sure you're there at about 9 o'clock, 8:30.
And surprise them and open the door wide and say, good morning.
Exactly. Be prepared to have a nice cup of coffee and take them a piece of cake and do something that you'd enjoy while you're waiting.
And Gail, I know for a lot of our community centres, we do offer programs that literally go to the end of life. So we do have people in those older years. That's something that I guess they can really assess their ability to do things or not to do things. How can they help that person if they don't know their family? It's hard, isn't it?
It is hard. Yes, you can see me being a bit bewildered. It really is difficult if you don't know the family, and sadly, a lot of families are not interested anyway. They just want to wash their hands of what's going on, either because they're not interested in mum and dad or because it's too hard. It is quite difficult. If you're really concerned about someone, you could go, if you can find out who their doctor is, you could actually approach the doctor. The doctor would not be able to give you any information, but they will happily take information about a patient. It's tricky.
Okay, so all you could do is encourage the person to speak up themselves.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I think aged care homes are a bit concerned about is that people my era, baby boomers, are not going to sit around and be compliant like this current generation mostly are. So they changed the quality and safety standards for aged care a number of years ago, and one of them was changed to more voice, more choice, because they know that the baby boomers are going to want to have more say.
Well, it was said the baby boomers would want to sit around a swimming pool and sip martinis.
Precisely.
Why not? It's all just the cost, I guess, at the end of the day. Mm. We can probably talk on this all day, and no doubt we'll need to get you back down the track. But is there anything you'd really like from a community centre perspective, or if someone does have older parents out there they'd like to be aware of?
Well, it's interesting you're talking about a community centre perspective. I've just booked down at Elizabeth House at Christie Downs and Wakefield House at Morfitt Vale on a couple of Saturdays, one in the afternoon, one in the morning. I'm actually going to be doing a one-hour session for people to come along, hopefully with their families, so that we can discuss some of what we've unpacked today. I'm looking at getting information out to as many people as I can to empower them not to be pushed around by a system.
That's absolutely fantastic. Now, Gail, how can people find you? Because we will put this out to all of our community centres. So how do they find you?
The best way really is by phone. So it's 0408 013 371.
It's Gail Miller. That number again, Gail?
0408 013 371.
And there will be information on our website. Gail, this has been so interesting, such an incredibly important topic, and it really is about acting now and being informed, which you can help people with.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure.
And thank you for listening and engaging with our community conversations today. Every week, we aim to bring you stories from far and wide, across South Australia and beyond. People who are game changers in our community, doing great work, plus general topics of community interest. If you have any subjects you think we should cover or any other feedback, please let us know at communitycentressa.asn.au, and feel free to share this podcast so we can engage more people in our next community conversation.
Community Conversations. For more information, check out communitycentressa.asn.au.